Hello, church family. My name is Pastor Sam. I am the proud pastor of, you know, the five students that we just saw come up and get confirmed and baptized, and the rest of our youth in here. If this is your first time at a church, welcome. We're so glad you're here. After the service, please join us outside of the service, the sanctuary, so that we can meet you at a welcome table and say hi and get to know you guys. If this is your first time in a while, welcome back and welcome home. My youth and I, in our Central Youth Sunday services, have been doing this thing back and forth where after praise and liturgy, right before I give my sermon, I'll come up and I'll declare to them, God is good. And then my youth will say back to me all the time. Then I'll say all the time, and then my youth will say, yeah, God is good. Amen. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. How our Jesus, the Son of God, is the good shepherd. We are continuing our sermon series through the Gospel of Mark, and today we're in chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. And during the last Sundays of the month, all church Sundays, our church does this beautiful thing where we actually have our very own central youth come up onto the stage and lead us in the reading of Scripture. And so will you guys help me welcome up our very own Aaron Yu to the stage, please?
This is Mark 6, verses 30 to 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, brother. Good job, man. Good job, bro. Our story today begins with Jesus' disciples actually coming back from a trip. Before our passage in Mark 6, Jesus actually sent the disciples out and gave them authority to cast out demons, to heal people of illnesses and diseases, and to preach the word of God. And when they returned, you can imagine that they were super excited because they had so many different stories to tell and testimonies to share with Jesus. And you can also imagine Jesus laughing with them, proud of them. But it's interesting that his next words to them were not what they did well or what they could have done better or even their next assignment. His next instructions for them were to find a quiet place to rest. From the beginning of our passage, it sets the tone. And it's very clear that you see the qualities of a good shepherd. Right, Jesus was not concerned with grading their efforts and their work. He doesn't point out their mistakes. He just wants them to rest. Jesus, for us, is not our employer. He is your shepherd. Meaning, yes, he disciplines. Yes, he leads, he guides, he gives instructions, but he also stops for your rest, your spiritual and your physical and your emotional health. And as we continue this passage, we're actually supposed to take what we see in the beginning, that he's a good shepherd. We're supposed to take that through the rest of the passage. But if we're being honest, the shepherd heart that we see in the first couple verses is not what we think about when we read this text. This is the passage where Jesus miraculously multiplies 5 loaves and 2 fish. It is the great miracle passage. We are so focused by nature to think about and look at the work that Jesus does. Like, a lot of us are wired this way, to think about all the things that need to be done, doing it well, doing it efficiently, making sure everything runs smooth. And for the disciples, they also focused on the work. But from their perspective, it makes sense because they just came back from the greatest short-term mission trip ever, where they healed people by their own hand and the power of God, where they exorcised demons in the name of Jesus, where they preached the gospel to multitudes. And so they come back and they're focused on the work. And now that the work is done, they tell Jesus to send the people away. This happens often in ministry and in life. Right, we do this all the time, maybe every week even, where we focus so much on what happens, and though that's important, we forget why Jesus does it, and we miss the beautiful moments. It is so easy to prepare a sermon. It is so easy to prepare for ministry, to go through a school year, a ministry year, to focus on work and everything that's happening in our kids' lives and getting it done, then miss the special moments where Jesus is made more beautiful in those things and where your kids are growing right before your eyes. And we do that all of the time. A few weeks ago, the staff, we went on our yearly annual staff retreat. And it's funny because we go to Elder Young Ho and Sandy's house in OBX. They let us use it so that we can, you know, get away and plan for the year. And because we're at, you know, a beach house, everyone thinks like, oh, have fun. Like, oh, we're so jealous. It's going to be such a good time. And actually, the first year that we did this, that Alex and I went on this trip, we also thought that this was going to be like a week of like rest and retreating, and we kept calling it a beach trip, and the pastors were like, stop calling it a beach trip, we're going to work. And I even packed my like swimsuit last year, never used it, never brought it out, because like this retreat is like the hardest week of our lives. It's like nonstop meetings. It's like we sit down like all day. It's constant planning, a constant review, and now it is like the week that I dread the most in the entire ministry year. But this past retreat a few weeks ago, there was a moment that actually stuck out to me. We were dreaming about partnering with the different churches in the different countries of Asia that Pastor Owen and Elder Peter and John Sub visited. And Pastor Hugh and Pastor Owen, they had this little moment with each other where they just kept throwing ideas at each other. Where one of them would say like, oh, what if we did this? And the other would be like, but let me do one better. And then he said, I'll do you one. And they just kept going back and forth. And like every single time they threw an idea at each other, they got more and more excited. And at the pinnacle of their excitement and their idea throwing, Pastor Huey said this. He said, what if the worship team led a song in one of the Asian, like, for example, the Cambodian language on a Sunday? We recorded that song of praise and we sent it to our sisters and brothers. And in that moment, Pastor Hugh and Pastor Owen like erupted. They started like screaming. They were like, oh my goodness. And they were like laughing. And for me in the moment, I honestly just thought, oh, they're having like a cute bro moment. And I started laughing and I almost missed it until I look directly to my right. And on the couch, Pastor Bobby is sitting there, like crying. And some of you are thinking, well, he always cries. But then I looked one more to the left, and yes, Pastor Hugh and Pastor Owen were laughing, but they had tears in their eyes, and they were wiping them as they were laughing. And then I looked one more to the left, and Jane's on the couch with tears flowing from her eyes. And I looked one more, and Director Heidi's eyes are bright red, filled with tears. And it was at that moment where I realized what was happening and thought, oh my gosh, I almost missed it. And for 30 seconds, the staff just stayed silent. And we sat imagining our busy church with the millions of events that we run, with all the meetings that we do, our busy church just singing in an unknown language. And we sat there imagining and remembering, this is why we do what we do. You know, they were so overwhelmed by this moment. I shared a picture on the screen, on the slide, that Pastor Huey and Pastor Owen like reached out and held hands for a while. It was a beautiful and cute moment, so I took a picture. But I share this picture and this story because when you read this text, this passage, you need to see why Jesus does this. It was not to teach the disciples a lesson. And it was not to show off another miracle. It is so easy for us to read this passage and make it about the 5 loaves and the 2 fish feeding 5,000 people. Right? Like you and I, like we often do that. We often read this passage and we think the disciples are lacking faith again. This is another example of the disciples not getting it and Jesus making sense. But if you really read what's happening, and if you think about what's happening, what they're saying, what the disciples are suggesting is not wrong or bad. In fact, nowhere in this passage, this text, does Jesus rebuke them for suggesting to send the crowds into the nearest town. This is not a Peter sinking into the water moment. Jesus is not teaching them a lesson. They are not failing a test. The disciples are witnessing what Jesus is passionate about. The Gospel of Mark is showing us who Jesus was, what he got excited about. And I don't know why we do this. We read this passage where nowhere in the text it tells us that Jesus is kind of frustrated or contending against the disciples' suggestion. He's not nonchalant. He's not this stoic figure. Mark doesn't say anything about that. And actually, the Gospel of Mark was actually originally written to Gentiles. And what this tells us is that the Gentiles, the original audience that read the Gospel of Mark, was not familiar with the laws and the traditions of the Jews. What Mark is doing here, he's introducing a precious and a good friend. It's as if we were talking about a grandparent that we loved so dearly. And as if we shared about all the different things they used to get excited about. Like, man, I remember like whenever you know my grandfather, my grandmother talked about gardening, right? Life was restored to their eyes. Or when they talked about playing golf or playing with their children or eating tangerines or whatever it is. It's like that. That's what Mark is doing. Mark is sharing a story about Jesus, trying to show the kind of guy and man that Jesus was. The focus of this passage was never supposed to be about the miracle. The focus is on a man who loves to feed his sheep. The church was never supposed to read this passage in the gospel and think, wow, Jesus took these bread and these fish and fed thousands of people. We were supposed to read it and see, man, he got excited about doing this. Psalm chapter 23, verses 1-3 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." This passage in Mark chapter 6 is the famous psalm, Psalm 23, come to life. It is Psalm 23 manifested in the person of Jesus, a good shepherd. Jesus, what this passage is trying to show us, he takes ownership of feeding his sheep. Right, sending them into the town was actually not a bad suggestion. In fact, I actually think like a lot of churches, if not all of us, would have came up with the same plan. Right, especially if it was like 5,000, if a staff met, pastoral staff met, we talked about how are we going to feed them after this event, this preaching, this revival, whatever. If it was 5,000, we would all say, just send them away, just dismiss them. This was actually a very good and smart strategic idea by the disciples. But the good shepherd wants to be the one to feed us. Not just physically with food, but spiritually and emotionally. Or he knows you can take care of yourself. He knows you have a plan. He knows that you can probably handle this problem that your family is dealing with. But he wants to be the one. He volunteers excitedly saying, I'll do it. Don't send them away. Bring them to me. Like, why are you struggling by yourself? Come to me. I'll feed you. And I know that there has to be some of you in this room who are tired of asking and praying about the same thing and the same problem again and again. Whether it's a job, whether it's a home, whether it's a broken relationship with a friend, a partner, or whatever it is. What our passage is telling us is to never fear or hesitate to come to Jesus with our needs. He's not up there in heaven on his throne, tired that it's the fourth or the 20th time that you've come to him with this same desire and need. He loves it when we trust him with it. As you bring these needs to him, as you wait, sometimes years and years, trust in his timing. Trust in his ways, and trust in his answer. Because think about it, if our God gets excited about feeding you, and he loves to be the one to give to you, then we can trust that there's a really good reason when he doesn't, or when he doesn't yet. Sometimes it's gonna be to build trust. Like he just needs you to wait and to learn to wait and to learn to trust him. Other times, it's to make us love him more than the thing that we're going to receive. And then there are times, often, when he knows receiving that thing will result in killing us spiritually and emotionally. And so he chooses, because he can't bear to lose you, to not give you that desire and need. But in all of those things, all those situations, he is good. He's a good shepherd. And the second thing I want to talk about as I was reading this passage, a good way to know if as a church we are starting to step over to the side of legalism is when we forget to think about feeding people. Or even, I'll do you a better one, when we start thinking that it's not our responsibility to feed our people. And I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about when we stop being concerned with people's souls, with their hearts, their emotion, but also their health. When we only think about the masses that showed up, when we only think about the numbers coming in, when we only think about how organized or smooth our events are running. This is how easily we forget the heart of the Good Shepherd. That we only think about, man, we did so much this year, as opposed to the few hearts that were healed and grown. Christ Central, my prayer is that we as a church would be a people who love God, love people, and don't miss the special moments where Jesus is made beautiful. One of the things that we did, as you just saw, was confirm and baptize our children. And what we're about to do now is watch them take communion, come to the table for the first time with us. And this is one of the things where it's so easy for us to miss the moment. Right? Every month we come to this table, and I feel like a lot of us, we know intellectually this is an important thing. We know that when we come here, what we're supposed to do is remember what Jesus did. But even then, many of us, we forget and we miss the moment. Understand, youth that just got confirmed and baptized, that when you guys stand before the church, when you proclaim your faith publicly, when you come to this table, Jesus is not standing up there saying, oh, good job, or you could have said, I do a little louder, or whatever, right? You could have dressed better, whatever it is. He's the most excited up there. Our God is tearing up. He is cheering, and all of heaven with him. I'm going to close with a thought that I shared with this specific class this year as we were closing up, wrapping up our confirmation class. And I hope that this will help everyone not miss this moment as we come to the table today. Whenever we take communion, we do it in remembrance of what Jesus did. Right? He told us that when you break of this bread and you drink of this cup, every time you do it, every time you gather to remember what I'm about to do for you. But often I think we forget about the last thing that he said in that Passover meal. He said that I will not take of it until I return and we take of it together in the kingdom of heaven. Communion is not just for us to take remembering what he did, but it is also for us to look forward to what he will do and what we will do together with him forever. And I told the confirmation class on our last class together that as you guys come up here for the first time, I want you guys to think about this. As you wait to drink from this cup and eat this bread, I want you guys to think about how for the rest of your life, there's going to be hundreds of times that you do this. And there's going to be countless times where you eat this bread and drink this cup. But then there will come a day in heaven where Jesus will raise his glass. And when we raise it with him, we're going to think about the countless times that we did it here on earth with this family. And that in that moment, all of us are going to think about how precious this moment was. And I know that when that day comes, none of us are going to miss that moment. Will you guys bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, as we prepare to take of the bread and the cup, Lord, help us to see that this is who you are. That you tore up your flesh, that your blood was spilled because you're a good shepherd. You love us so much. You get excited about spending time with us and feeding us and being the one to lead us. And so, Lord, be with us now at this meal. Lord, help us to know and see and believe that you love us so much. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Beloved,